Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you just as we have heard in song this morning. We thank you that Jesus was strong to save. And that what Jesus accomplished on the cross was enough. He didn't go halfway expecting us to meet him halfway. He went to the cross and bore our sin in himself. So that if we believe, if we will turn from our sin, we can be brought into a right relationship with you. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to see the Word for what it truly is, your Word given to us. Your revelation of who you are and how we're to respond. Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts ready to respond, minds ready to apply. And we'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning is a little bit different in how I'm going to approach the message. Instead of going through a particular passage and walking through that particular passage, we're going to look at a particular topic. And that topic is a topic that's too often ignored in the church today. And the topic is church membership. Church membership. Now, the title you'll see behind me on the screen, why? Why church membership? In other words, why should I be formally committed to a local church? Not simply committed in heart, committed in mind, but actually stepping out and saying, by God's grace, I belong here, and everyone knows I belong here because I am a member of this church. Why should I do that? And next week, what we're going to do is we're going to ask the question, how? So really, all the application is not going to be until next week. We're going to take our church covenant, and we're going to use our church covenant sort of as the outline next week. Now, we'll say this, our church covenant that we use here at First Baptist Church is a church covenant that many Southern Baptist churches use and have used since the 1800s. It was written in the 1800s, and so a lot of the language in it is language that we don't necessarily use today. And so I have sort of not changed the covenant, but updated the language in the covenant. And so what you're going to get next week is our covenant as we have it now, and on the back of a sheet of paper, you're going to have an updated version of it. And what I want to do is use that updated version, give it to you. You can have time to process through it, and later on, maybe at a conference in the coming months, we'll have an opportunity to talk about whether or not we want to adopt that as our new updated covenant. But I want to use that as the basis for the message next week on how, really answering the question, how can I be a faithful, healthy church member? And so application more so next week. We'll have some application today, but most of the application will be next week. But today, I'm going to make an argument for church membership. That's what I'm going to do today. And I'm going to do that through asking four questions. So four questions really will frame the message, frame the sermon this morning. And the questions begin with this. Number one, what is the problem? What's the problem? Well, the problem is that many doubt the significance of committing to and joining a local church. Maybe you've heard people say, well, I don't do church. If that's coming from an unbeliever, you can understand that a little bit more. Of course they're not. They don't do church. They don't understand what the church is, most likely. They have no frame of reference for the church. But say that's coming from someone who says, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't do church. Well, there's a problem with that. Some people reject the very idea of church membership as a Christian. They think it's unspiritual. They think that it would take away from their following Jesus. And so you hear things like that. I don't do church. Well, there's also some statistical evidence that shows that there's a problem when it comes to church membership. Stats show that there is a movement among Christians today that to have the highlight of their Christian life, the highlight of their Christian life to be a time when they're not gathered together with members of the local church. They call themselves, they would think of themselves more as private Christians. Christians who believe in God, they say they believe in Jesus, they have a Bible, but they rarely go to church. One poll that was taken polled thousands of people who said they were followers of Jesus, claimed to be Christians, and the poll came to the conclusion that the greatest challenge to Christianity today is the rejection of all forms of organized religion. Now, I want to say this. This is organized religion. But polls show that people reject that. They reject the very fact of organized religion. And these people would simply say they would be classified as generic Christians. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Presbyterian. I'm just a Christian. So private Christianity, generic Christianity. There's a problem in the church. When people feel like they can't be who Christ has called them to be as members of the local church. Now, First Baptist Church is affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. That means we are in friendly cooperation with and contributing toward the causes of the Southern Baptist Convention. That ultimately means that we cooperate with thousands of other churches for the sake of missions. Ultimately, that's what we do. Effectively, that's what we do. We cooperate with thousands of other churches for the sake of getting the gospel to those who have yet to hear the gospel. That's what the Southern Baptist Convention was founded on. That's what the Southern Baptist Convention will always be about. Now, there are over 46,000 Southern Baptist churches. In 2016, that's the latest numbers that we have, there were over 16 million individuals who identify themselves as members of a Southern Baptist church. 46,000 churches, 16 million members. Now, on any given Sunday, church attendance, on average, in a Southern Baptist church, church attendance, 6 million people in attendance in a Southern Baptist church, total 46,000 churches on any given Sunday. That means there are 10 million people who aren't in church that claim to be Christians that are a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, I know that many of those are homebound. I know many of those are probably on vacation. But 10 million? There's a problem in the church. Second question. How do we get here? How do we get to the point where church membership is either rejected, ignored, or simply thought of as unspiritual? How do we get to this point? And I want to answer that question by giving you three answers. There are a ton of answers that you could give for this question, how do we get here? But I want to give you three, and I want to work through those three answers by giving you the least important to the most important, what I believe of how we got to this point. First is technology. Technology has reduced, at least according to perception, technology has reduced the need for community. Access to popular teachers, popular preachers are just a click away when you go online. Now, I am extremely thankful that we can go online and there is access to good, solid, theological, evangelical teaching. I think that's great. I'm actually a little embarrassed that you can actually go online and listen to my sermons online. That's weird to me. But many Christians today will solely rely on click of the button as their participation in the church. There's a problem with that. And so how do we get here? One, technology. Second answer, and I'm going to put this on me and fellow pastors, pastoral laziness. Instead of teaching deliberately that the local church is the heartbeat of what it means to follow Jesus, we pastors have assumed that you already know how important church membership is. And so instead of teaching about it and holding it in front of you as being important, equipping you with the understanding of church membership, true church membership, we have just said, well, they get it. I don't need to talk about it anymore. Everybody understands what church membership is all about. We have failed to equip our members with the tools needed to live out the life of following Jesus. We have failed to equip church members with what it means to reach our neighbors with the gospel of Jesus. We have failed our members explaining to them what it looks like to be a faithful, fruitful, healthy church member. I believe pastors have treated churches like they're rest stops. You know, you just drive in, you get out of your car, you go to the bathroom, you get you something to drink, you get you a snack, you get back in your car, and you get back on the road. Instead of viewing the church like it's boot camp, where you come in and you are equipped with the preaching of God's word, you're equipped by being with the fellowship of the saints, you're equipped with what it means to go out into your world where God has placed you and to be an ambassador for the King. So we started treating our churches, we talked about, I think on a Wednesday night, we said, because we heard it at our conference, that we treated our churches more like cruise ships instead of boot camps. That's how we have gotten to the point. So it's not just technology. We can't just say, well, technology, oh, the world's terrible, and man, that's why we are in the place. No, it comes back to the pulpits. We as pastors, as leadership in church, have failed to equip our churches with what it means to be a faithful, healthy church member. And third, and I think really the most important reason that explains how we got to this point is worldliness. Looking like, acting like the world. And this can be seen in a number of different ways. Let me give you just a couple. One brand of worldliness is hypocrisy. You got to just face it. That's probably the most often heard objection to committing to the local church. Well, I don't want to be a part of those hypocrites. Everybody in there is just a bunch of hypocrites. Why would I want to be? If there's no difference between the way the people that are in the church are living than the way the people are outside the church living, what's the point of me becoming a part of the local church? Now, we've got to be careful here, because the reality is we're all hypocrites. We're all hypocrites. But it's easier to be hypocritical when you're one of the 10 million that's not in attendance at church on a Sunday morning to profess Christ, to profess to be a part of the body of Christ, but you're not living like it. You're not acting like it. And that's what the world sees. They know you profess Christ. They know you're a member of that church that's right down the street, but they see the way you live. And they don't want any part of it, because it's not any different than the world. So hypocrisy, worldliness, is another reason we've gotten to where we are. Another brand of worldliness that I want to spend a little bit more time on is individualism. In 1996, Greg Wills wrote a book called Democratic Religion, and he addressed this very topic of individualism. He noted specifically how Georgia Baptist churches in the 19th century, so back in the 1800s, when I mentioned that our church covenant was actually written, so back in the 19th century, churches, specifically Georgia Baptist churches, fought against this very thing, individualism. And he noted in the book, congregations practice something that has seemed to fall out of popularity in many churches, and that is church discipline. They practice church discipline at an amazing rate. They took membership so seriously that if you claim to be a Christian and you joined a church, but you continued in unrepentant sin, then that church would gather together, they would vote, and put you out of the membership. What they were doing, they were following what Jesus commanded the church to be about in 1 Corinthians or in Matthew chapter 18, and they were following the example of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That they were just following the biblical example. And so for years and years, you had churches that were constantly being pruned of individuals who refused to quit their unrepentant sin. They quit. Just continued to get drunk. They continued with their immorality, continued with adultery. They continued with not coming to church, and they believed, and I believe as well, they considered non-attendance in church to be a sin that was worthy of church discipline. I mean, that is what they did. They believed that that was what Scripture said, and that's what we needed to live with or live by. Now, a church discipline is always practiced with the hope and really with the expectation that the person that has been disciplined will repent and then be restored to the church. It is not ultimately to kick people out of the church and be done with them. It is ultimately that they would see their sin, repent of their sin, and then be restored. But then something happened, and he talked about it in this book. Churches stopped caring. Some grew too big to be concerned with matters of church membership. He said this, he said, church discipline simply faded away as if Baptists had grown weary of holding one another accountable. It's a lot of work to hold people accountable by God's grace to walk like Jesus, to live like Jesus. Worldly individualism infects the church and makes her weak. So worldliness, individualism, hypocrisy, laziness in the pulpit, and technology, all of those contribute to get us to the point where we are today when it comes to local church membership. So the third question is this: what's the answer? What's the biblical answer? What do we see in Scripture for why we should be a part of a local church? And I want to give you three answers that we see in Scripture for why we should care about this at all. Why I would stand up here today and next Sunday and talk about this topic of church membership. Well, first, the biblical images, biblical metaphors for the church imply local church membership. How did Paul describe the church? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul describes the church, its people, as a building. He said, we are it. We are the building. Well, how can we be a building? Because every member of a local church is united to one another. That's what it means to be the building, the body of Christ, which we'll look at in just a second. As Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, living stones, we are living stones being built together into a spiritual house. Christian, you are supposed to be a member of the church because God described the church as a building and said you are supposed to be a living stone that is a part of that building. You're supposed to have a place. You're supposed to hold others up as they hold you up. You're to be a living stone being built together into a spiritual house, Scripture says. Paul, as I just said, also mentioned that the church is seen as a body, the body of Christ. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter 12. verse 3 through 5. He said, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." So what Paul is saying is that every local church is the body, is a body of Christ. The majority of the times when that word church is mentioned in the New Testament, the author is talking about the local church, a group of people like us gathering together. And so Paul is saying every local church is a body of Christ. So just like your hand is connected to your arm, and your arm is connected to your torso is connected to your legs are connected to your feet, so it is the case with every one of us. We are attached to one another. The body of Christ. If you're a member of First Baptist Church, you're attached to the body, and that means you are attached to me. That's what it means to be a member, a part of the body. It implies that you are connected, and that connection is supposed to mean something. It's supposed to be visible. So the biblical metaphors imply local church membership. Second answer for why this matters: the requirement for church membership in the church implies church membership. 1 Corinthians 5. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 5, you can do that. Paul heard in Corinth that there was a guy who was committed to, it wasn't just a one-time thing, he was committed to sexual immorality. And he wasn't giving it up. This is what I'm about, this is what I'm going to do. And Paul heard about it, and it disturbed Paul. And so Paul rebukes the church at Corinth, and he basically says, you need to deal with him, and you need to put him out of the church. Listen to what Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. He says this: "For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord." That's church discipline. That is the church, as it says, when you come together, when you gather, when you assemble in the name of the Lord, remove this person from membership because of his unrepentant sin, with the hope that he will repent and be restored. That's the whole purpose. Paul intends this for this man's good. But see this, hear this. He can't be placed out of the membership if he's not already in the membership. Do you see how that implies local church membership? They had to know that he was inside for him to be put outside. And that, to me, is compelling evidence that Christians need to identify themselves as being inside the church, so that when we do sin and we have brothers and sisters who are in Christ can come to us and say, "You can't live like that and follow Jesus." That's the whole point. We're helping each other to live holy lives that we've been called to live. You can't just be you and Jesus. That is foreign to Scripture. A Christian that's not connected to a church. It's just, you can't, you show it to me if you find it. Some of you are going to be flipping, trying to find, and I'm going to have to tell you you're wrong, but the requirement for church discipline calls for church membership. And the third reason we see from Scripture: think about all the biblical commands that we have to love one another. You can't do that if you're not a part of a local assembly. You just can't. Not be faithful to what Scripture says to do. Let me give you one example. John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, by your love for one another, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So what does that text show us? What does it tell us? That we're supposed to love other followers of Jesus. How? As he loved us. Well, how did he love us? He identified with us. He stood in our place, bore the wrath of God that we deserved. He died for us. We are sinful. He is perfect. And he died in our place so that he, the perfect one, would take on our sins so that one day in the future we would be made perfect like him. He identified with us. And so, Christ identified with us, so how much more does that call us to identify with one another so that we can be a picture of the gospel together? At the heart of church membership is the gospel. And we've got to remember that. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you're hearing me talk about church membership and how you need to join a church and be a part of a local church, if you're not a Christian this morning, hear this. Before you can ever think about joining a church, being identified with a local church, you need to identify yourself with Christ in the gospel. Believe that Christ really did hang on a cross for sinners like you and me. Believe that he rose from the dead to prove that everything he said was true, and that one day Jesus is going to come back to judge the living and the dead. So Christ is telling you this morning, through me, repent of your sin, repent, turn from your rebellion, your rejection of God, and turn to him. Trust in him, believe in him, commit your life to him. That's what Jesus is saying to you this morning if you're not a Christian. That's what it means to be a Christian, to give your life, your whole self to him. For those of you who are Christians, I'm telling you that part of following Jesus is lovingly identifying with another or with others in the context of a local church. Part of you following Jesus, committing yourself to a local church. So you've got the biblical metaphors for the church, you've got the requirement for church discipline, and the commands to love other Christians. All of those argue pretty compellingly that if you're a Christian, you need to be a member of a local church. Now, this brings us to the last question. What do we do now? What should I do? Well, application is pretty simple. I probably don't even have to tell you what the application is, but here's the application. The application is this. If you're a Christian and you're not a member of a church, join a church. If it's this church, great. I'm not trying to get you to join this church today. What I'm trying to tell you is to understand is the importance of a Christian understanding their need for the local church. If it is this church, great. But join a church. God made you to link arms with other Christians, to fight the fight of faith in the context of the local church, in the context of a community of faith. And hear this, there's no perfect church. There's just not. Find a church that preaches the gospel clearly, that values the Bible, that believes Jesus is coming back, and that believes the most important for you is your holiness and not your happiness. Find a church like that, join it, and start serving the Lord there. But help pastors, help me shepherd you by joining a church. It's hard to shepherd people when you don't know what church that they're a member of. When they may show up one week here and another week there and another week there, it's hard for pastors to shepherd people when we don't know who the sheep are. And pastors will give an account for those they shepherd. If you're a member this morning of this church, well, really of any church, but especially this church, be committed to Christ by committing to the body of Christ. And do it for three reasons. Do it for the sake of the unbelieving world. The unbelieving world is desperate to see Christians who have actually been transformed by the gospel. One of the ways we make ourselves clear to the unbelieving world around us is by linking arms with people who want to follow Jesus together. Not just in words, but in actions. And so for the sake of the unbelieving world, for the sake of those around you who do not need or do not know Jesus but need Jesus, commit to the local church. Be committed to the church for your own sake. You need other Christians. The worldliness of individualism has so infected the church that we are tempted to think that we don't need anybody else. I can live this life. I could do it all by myself. I don't need anybody else to help. But all of Scripture testifies that we need other people. You need accountability, because one day there's going to come a day when you're not going to feel like following Jesus. You're going to follow your own heart, and you're going to need somebody who loves you, cares for you, and is committed to your holiness to come alongside you and say, stop it. Follow Jesus. Stop following your own heart. Follow Jesus. So join a church. Commit to the church for your own sake. Heart, I don't need other people. Then that may end up eventually proving that you never knew Jesus. And finally, be committed to the church. This is the most important reason. Be committed to the local church for Christ's sake. If for no other reason, be committed for His sake. Acts chapter 9 is the story about this guy, Saul, who was on the road to Damascus, and he gets intercepted by Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said to him? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's a weird question. Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. Saul was persecuting the church. But that's the whole point. Jesus so identified with people that he died for us. And so when Saul was persecuting people, followers of Jesus, Jesus said, Saul, you're persecuting me. And we are the body of Christ. And we will never understand what that entirely means, this side of heaven, that Jesus identified with his people in such a way that he died for them. But for the sake of Christ, identify yourself with the local church. Commit to the church. And if you this morning, or you say, well, I'm interested in that here at First Baptist Church, if you look in your bulletin, it explains that. We've got a process for membership. I'm so thankful for that process because it guards against several things. But one of those is a Membership Matters class that we go through and talk about what we believe, why we believe it, and how we live together, how we're called to live together as the local body here at First Baptist Church. I'm so thankful for our church covenant, and we'll get into that next week because it teaches us what it looks like to actually live as the body of Christ here at First Baptist Church. So why is it important? I pray that you got that answer. You see from Scripture what God thinks about the local church, what Jesus thinks about the local church, and how the Holy Spirit empowers us to be the church. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the truth that Jesus lived a perfect life. That he died in the place of sinners like us. And that he rose from the dead. And one day he's coming back. We pray that this gospel truth would change us. We pray that you would make us more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus identified with the church, we pray that we would identify and commit ourselves to the church. We love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In church, would you stand and respond this